Philippians chapter number 2. What a blessing the Word of God is. Amen. I didn't get to be in Sunday school Sunday morning. And you might, sometimes people might say, well, preacher, how come you're not there every Sunday? Well, I'd like to be. That's truth. But just sometimes I'm still getting settled. You might not believe that, amen, but sometimes it's Sunday school and I'm just the Holy Spirit ministered. Now, if I'm settled and it's 10 o'clock, I'm going to come in here and enjoy the Sunday school. But I tell you what, if I'm not in here, I'm going to get it. Brother Richard sees to it that I get it, amen. And I got to listen to that about Cornelius today and it blessed my heart, amen. Cornelius is one that I use often in speaking to people about acting on the light that God gives them. I believe if an individual will act on the light that God gives them, God will give them more light. And that's what Cornelius was doing. He was doing all he knew how to do. God said, Peter, I need you to go down there, buddy. Amen. And tell him there's just a little bit more to this, amen, than where he's at right now. And by the way, that's also a proof text. I'm not going to try to run too many rabbits tonight, but a lot of people say, well, if you're a sinner, man, God won't hear your prayer. Now, that's the Pharisees that said that. And when they were saying it, they were saying that Jesus was the sinner man. You understand that? They're the ones that said, and we know that God heareth not sinners. And people will go over and take that text and then say, well, God don't hear sinners. Well, I tell you what, Cornelius hadn't been saved yet. But God said his prayers and his alms come up to God for. I'll tell you, God's a looking right down in there. He knows who's playing games and who's not. Amen. And I tell you, Cornelius was blessed. He was blessed of the Lord. I appreciate that. Well, amen. Let's go down here. I'm about to get excited. I ain't even read the text yet. Amen. The Bible said in verse 15 that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, verse 16 is where we're going to key in on tonight. And it says here, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Brother Brian, I just thought about one of the last texts you used was over in Hebrews about our work of faith and our labor of love. Amen. God's not unrighteous to forget that. It's not going to be in vain. That's what the Word of God said. It said over there we have the victory in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You're not going to serve God long. The devil's going to jump up on your shoulder and tell you it's all in vain. It's all a waste of time. But I thank God tonight we have the Word of God tells us better. Amen. Let's pray just a moment. Father, would you put your hand on the Word of God tonight? Put your hand on this preacher and help me, Lord, as I expound the Scripture. And I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us something tonight that would change us. Teach us something that would challenge us. Teach us something tonight, our Father, that would cause us to want to go on another day for the Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. The Bible said here in verse number 15, I'm not going to go back and re-preach this, but it's talking about us being the sons of God without rebuke in the midst, right in the middle, of a wicked and a perverse, and a perverse nation. You could say wicked, it would, I guess, mean the same thing. But the verse 16, I guess verse 15, God's telling us how to live. And then in verse number 16, I believe there's the why that we live, the way that we live, amen, as Christians, as God's people. You see, if we're not measuring up, so to speak, in verse 15, how in the world would we ever measure up in verse 16? In other words, if we're just as crooked as the world, what would it mean, or what would it seem like for us to hold forth the word of life? It would seem like mockery. Amen. As a matter of fact, that's what you have in the life of Lot. He seemed like one that mocked. Amen. In other words, he was living just like them, so to speak. He had settled down, so to speak, in Sodom. And so God's wanting us not to settle down in the world, but to live in the midst of it all, that we might, in verse number 16, hold forth the word of life. And Paul said, the reason I want you to hold it forth, he said, because if you'll do that, he said, I'll know in the day of Christ, I can rejoice, and I'm going to know that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I thought about this. I'm not trying to play on your emotions tonight. But don't you believe the Lord will let Brother Jack know that he didn't run in vain, that he didn't labor in vain? Say amen right there. I believe if we'll just serve the Lord, we'll just go on, amen, the day will come when God will let us know that we've not labored, we've not run in vain. But the Bible tells us here, what is he looking for? He's looking for a group of people or an individual that will hold forth the word of life. I have some things here, and as I studied, and then as I studied, I don't even know if we'll get past the first thing, but why should we hold forth the word of life? Because we're called into the church that we may be witnesses for God. Now watch with you if you will. Why do we hold forth the word of life? I thought about you, Brother Gary, when I was studying this afternoon again. I've already studied this out once, but I like to study it again. You say, why? Because I'm forgetful. Amen. I have to refresh. Amen. I want to be in it right before I come in the pulpit. But I thought about the sign. Brother Gary, when I first come here, he said, preacher, well, you want me to put on a sign? And I said, well, Brother Gary, if there's an announcement, let's put that up there. And I said, if there's not an announcement, not a special occasion, I said, if it'd be all right with you, I'd just like to put the scripture up there on the sign. Even the sign can hold forth the word of life. Somebody might ride up down the road and say, wonder why their sign ain't like got some of his crazy stuff on it. I said, nuts. It ain't even scriptural, half this stuff that's on church signs. Amen. You can't do any better than putting the word of God up there, holding forth the word of God, the word of life. Amen. And so here in the Bible, we're taught that we're to be witnesses. Let's look at Isaiah 43 for just a moment. This is what holding forth the word of life is all about. And I got some things here tonight. I believe it'll bless your heart. It blessed my heart. I like to see things that I've not seen previously. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 10. There's nothing new under the sun, but I tell you what, there's a whole lot new to me. Amen. When I get in this book, amen, there's a whole lot that comes new to me. I can read the same passage over and over and over. And God continued to illuminate. I use that word, and I think it was Brother John told me about somebody's praying for a preacher in a tent meeting, said, oh, God, illuminate his mind. Said the preacher, got down, said, oh, God, please don't. Amen. Amen. Us preachers ain't got much left anyway. Amen. I believe the brother meant to say illuminate, amen, his mind. In Isaiah 43 and verse number 10, he said, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now God said, ye are my witnesses. Of course, you know in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. I believe that years ago there was something that kind of caught on. It was called lifestyle evangelism. In other words, people were saying, well, people can tell, you know, you can have an influence on people just by your lifestyle. There's no use running around taking that Bible and you know, telling people verses of Scripture and all that. I personally believe that it goes hand in hand. If our lifestyle doesn't back up what we're trying to tell somebody else, amen, then it's a waste of time. But I do believe that it's more than just a lifestyle, that people can look at us. How many realize there are good moral men in Bloomingdale? Say amen right there. That are lost without God. Amen. They don't see their need of Christ. They've got everything. They're like the church there at Laodicea. They're rich, increased with goods. They have need of nothing. And don't know that they're poor, miserable, and blind, and naked. So there's more to witnessing than just our lifestyle, but certainly our lifestyle is a part of it. And you know that there in the early church, they went everywhere. Can anybody tell me what they went everywhere doing? Somebody tell me, what did they do? They went everywhere. It says it over and over, preaching the word. Amen? Preaching the word. They weren't just running around, you know, hoping somebody would see that they were different. They had that word of God coming out of them, and they were preaching of the word of God. I want to give you some things that blessed me. I just started looking at some of these epistles and some of these New Testament books, and I think there's something here that's worthy of note tonight. Let's look first of all at Romans. You come out of Acts, the New Testament church. They went everywhere preaching the word. And after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, you're going to be witnesses unto me. And they certainly were witnesses for the Lord. And I want us to look in some of these epistles. And I believe it'll be evident real quick. We're talking about holding forth the word of life. In other words, not putting it under a bushel. Not being ashamed of it. Paul said there, my wife and I were talking to somebody the other day. Oh, I know it was at the funeral home. And he had on the back of his shirt, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I was trying to remember, there's three I ams. There's I am debtor, I am ready, and I am not ashamed. That right there in Romans chapter number 1. And I was trying to remember them, and I couldn't remember one of them, the one I am ready. I could remember I am debtor. I could remember I am not ashamed. And so what did my good wife do? She just pulled her New Testament out of her purse and said, here. And so I looked it up while we were standing there in line. Amen. And notice what the Bible said in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 8. He said, first, he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What about that? What a statement. You say, preacher, how could that happen? I'll tell you how. In the church at Rome, somebody was holding forth the word of life. Somebody wasn't ashamed of the word of God. Amen. Somebody was holding it out there. Somebody was giving out the word of God. Now, if we look, go back over, turn from Romans to Corinthians. God help us right here, amen. God deliver us from this. But were they holding forth the word of life? You get into chapter 1 of Corinthians, the church at Corinth. I'm doing a contrast now between the Romans and the Corinthians. What happened there in Corinth? The Bible said here in chapter 1, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this describes the average church today. In other words, they've got everything they need to do the job, but they're not doing the job. Watch what it says right here. He said, who shall also confirm unto the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus? God is faithful. I say amen right there. It's not his problem. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Watch this now. He said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Watch this. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are in the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. You say, preacher, what happens when we lose sight of what we're here for? There'll be contentions among us. We're here to hold forth the word of life, to give out the word of God in a world that's dark. And if we're busy doing that, we won't have time for division. We won't have time for contention. We won't have time, listen, for carnality. That's what's going on in the church of Corinth. There's more to it, my friend. It's not just what they're doing. It's what, because of what they're doing, they're failing to do. Watch this. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you, verse 1, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. There's a scripture over in Corinthians. He said, in a time when you ought to have been teachers. You have one that you need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Watch what he said here. He said, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I've planted, Apollos watered. But here's what you need to never forget. It's God that gives the increase. What I'm trying to see, help us to see tonight, is what the Lord showed me. Look at the contrast between Rome, the church at Rome, where their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You don't see any division. You don't see that carnality. Amen. There may have been some, but it wasn't prevalent. In the church at Corinth, it was prevalent. It was like a cancer that was hurting God's people and hurting the cause of Christ. Another place, I'm going to go ahead and give you this negative, then all the rest of it's going to be positive. Jump over with me to Galatians quickly. I believe that might be the next book along the way here. Once you get out of 1 and 2 Corinthians, is that not right? Galatians. Watch Galatians now. Here's another. I got the word no. In other words, there's a couple of churches here that are not holding forth the word of life. They're not doing it. You say, preacher, you believe we ought to hold forth the word of life? I do. I believe if we don't do it, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I believe it's just as much sin as getting drunk, just as much sin as adultery. Amen. Paul said, wake to righteousness. He said, for some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. I'm going to tell you right now, listen, I love the word of God, I love the Lord, and I love you. But if I had the cure for you, leukemia tonight in my pocket, I'd say, time out. John, take the pulpit. I'm headed to Charlottesville. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? We don't have the cure for a lot of things, but we know what the cure for sin is. It is the precious word of God. And that's why God said, hold it forth. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't put it on the back burner. Put it on the front burner. When you go into those jails, Brother Wayne, you got to put the Word of God out on the front burner. Amen. Brother Wayne's got some ideas, and some of them might help somebody, some of them might not, but it's not Brother Wayne's idea that's important. It's not pastor's idea that's important. It's what God says about the matter. That's what's important. Watch this in the book of Galatians here. Here we go again. You see, they're all tied up trying to understand or trying to figure out or trying to actually, the Judaizers, get them to go back under the law. So what does Paul come along and say? Does he say, boy, I thank God every time I think about y'all, I pray for you. I thank God your faith is spoken of throughout. No, that's not what he says. Watch. Watch what he says. Look at verse number 6. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I believe with all my heart. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I thank God for our church. I thank God things are going well. But I tell you one thing right now, one of the major reasons trouble will come is to keep the word of God from going out. To keep the missionaries from being sent, to keep the visitation program from going on, to keep the Sunday school teachers. You know, the devil would rather the Sunday school teachers stand in front of empty benches and empty chairs than to stand and have a congregation of people that want to hear the word of God, the word of life, that it might go forth. Watch verse number 8. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have other than that unto you than that that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's strong language, is it not? Strong language. What's missing there in Corinth? What's missing there in Galatians? You see, all of their attention, this is what the devil would love to do to every one of us. All of their attention is turned in-house. Forget about a world that's lost and dying without God and going to hell. Amen. Let's just spend our time and spin our wheels trying to fight a fire here and fight a fire there and fight a fire here. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. He don't want the word of God to go forth. So the devil tries to hinder any way that he can. Now let's look at another positive. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12 through verse number 14. Watch this now. Boy, this is a blessing. The Bible said in verse number 12 that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Watch this now. I'm not stretching anything. After that you heard what? The word of truth. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So early on in Romans, there's the word of life. Early on in Ephesians, there's the word of life. You see it right there? There are people that are saved because of the word of life. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's a church, my friend, that just like the church at Rome is holding forth the word of life. You hath He quickened, who were dead, that's a past tense, in trespasses and in sin. Now let's go on. Not only Ephesians, let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 and verse number 6. This blessed my heart. When you just look, I'm going to be looking at some individuals also, like Timothy and like Peter and like Jude over there in the book of Jude. Like John over there in the book of the Revelation, real quickly. Let's look here at what happens when the word of life is held forth, the word of God. The Bible said in Philippians 1, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. And if I read verse 4 also, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what I believe with all my heart. Listen to me carefully. I believe, how many years has it been now? When was this church founded, Brother Ralph? 40-some, wasn't it, brother? 40-some years ago. What year was it founded, Brother Ralph? In 67, so 07 would be 50 years. Is that right? Am I thinking about that right? Is that correct? Two more years will be, 17 will be 50. Okay, so it's 48 years then right now. Is that correct, Brother Arnold? 48 years now. Okay, what are you saying, preacher? Here's what I'm saying. Don't you reckon God would like to have confidence that He which hath begun a good work right here on this hill will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Say amen. You say, why did He start a work here on this hill? Because He aimed to finish it. Why did He start a work here on this hill? Because He wanted a group of people to hold forth the word of life in this community, in our homes, amen, and in the house of God. The Bible said here, He's confident of this very thing. Look at 1 Thessalonians quickly. Let's turn over here. I don't know what happened to Colossians. I guess I missed that. Amen. I'll have to go back and look at that. Amen. I missed that one. Look over here with me in 1 Thessalonians. I know what happened. I knew that verse of Scripture was there, and I jumped. Look here in verse number 8. He said, and you became followers of us. Chapter 1, verse 8, or verse 6. I'm reading up to verse 8 in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. Watch verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. What a blessing. Amen. Here's some people in Thessalonica that are holding forth the word of life. I believe over there in Acts, was it Berea, where the Bible said they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so? I believe that was the church there at Berea. Amen. And I believe it's important, the word of God, holding it forth. And we can know in the day of Christ, we've not run in vain, we've not labored in vain when we're holding forth God's precious word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. This book is being written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a young preacher. Look what he said in chapter 1, verse number 4. He said, neither give heed to fables. And wait a minute now, I'm in 1 Timothy. I need to get over to 2. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 4. He said, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Watch this. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Where'd it come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He said, it was first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I'm also persuaded that in thee also. Let me just say this tonight. It's a little rabbit. But there's nothing going on in the inner city, the darkest alley in America, that the word of God wouldn't take care of. Amen. We need some more grandmothers and some more mothers like Eunice and like Lois. Amen. That will hold forth the word of life. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Where's that come from? The word of God. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul is telling this young preacher, it's important. Listen, God has only called preachers to do one thing, and that's preach the word. That's all He's called them to preach. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Hold forth the word of life. I believe it's important, don't you? Just looking at some examples. Look at James just a minute. Look at James just a minute. Go over past Hebrews and look at James. I think this is really, it's just wonderful how God put these examples early in these books, early in the chapter, early in the reading, that we might see the importance of the word of God. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Let me ask you something. How are you going to be a doer of the word if nobody's holding it forth? If nobody's putting the word of God out there? Amen. How are we going to do it? He said, for if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his face in a natural glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Sounds like to me, Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I never can remember if that's exactly the right order or not. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what James is saying. If a man will look into the word of God and do the work of God, the word, what God tells him in the word, he'll be blessed in his work. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's more ways to measure blessings than dollars and cents. There are people that have dollars and cents tonight that don't have no sense. How many know what I just said? They don't have any peace. There is no peace, the word of God said, saith my God to the wicked. You can't buy peace. I'm going to tell you something else. You can buy somebody to act like it, but you can't buy love. You can't pay somebody enough money to love you. Amen. There are people for enough money that'll act like it for a while. How many knows what I just said? They're on the take. Thank God here in the book of James, he said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'm trying to quit. Let me at least get through a couple more references here and I'll quit, okay? Look, 1 Peter. I'm still on the first thing here tonight. I'm just showing you because we're called into the church that we may be witnesses. These examples here. 2 Peter, excuse me, chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Boy, I tell you, brother, help me, Lord Jesus, remember his name. Oh, my goodness. Brother Mike Bagwell. Boy, Brother Mike did a wonderful job in this text, did he not, when he was with us? Amen. Watch this now. He said, whereby? Well, let me just go back to chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What's that mean, preacher? That means we have everything we need. We have everything we need to live for God. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, that be Jesus, that hath called us to glory and virtue. Watch this now. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That reminds me of Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let me just say this. I'm not trying to be ugly, but that day when David got up off of his bed, I guess it was the afternoon, if I remember correctly. Is that right? Or it's in the daytime. And he looked down there and he saw Bathsheba. You remember that? You want to know why there was a whistle? Because there wasn't the word. Amen. Say amen right there. I'm going to tell you, listen what one old preacher said. I'm going to repeat it. The word of God will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the word of God. Here in the word of God, Peter said, listen, it's this word, these divine and great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Somebody says, well, preacher, I'm having a hard time living for God. I say, get in the book. Read it. Meditate in it. Memorize it. Digest it. Amen. Get in the book, because that is where the victory lies. Holding forth the word of life. Let's look here just a minute at 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, early on. Watch what he says here. In verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, what's the next word? In other words, Brother Ralph, it wasn't like this with John. That ain't how he had his Bible. He said, I've seen some things and I've heard some things, and let me give it to you. Amen? That's what's important. That's what's important. He's holding forth the word of life. He said that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he said, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I will guarantee you this. An individual that is full of joy, this book is a key ingredient. You say, preacher, what happens when we get away from the book? Well, what did David ask God to give him back? What did David lose? Why did he lose his joy? Because he lost his fellowship. Why did he lose his fellowship? Because the Bible said if when we sin, we're going to have to confess that in order to regain that fellowship with the Father. Amen? And I believe that's important to know tonight. John said, I want your joy to be full. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's holding forth. He doesn't even get started in 1 John. He says, hey, here's where it is. It's the word of life. That's our hope. That's our joy. That's our victory tonight. Did you know we're living in a land where many are going to the pulpit on Sunday morning without a Bible? I'll say this. I don't have anybody in mind. I really don't. But my goodness, we ought to carry our Bible to the house of God. That way you can straighten me out like my wife does. I used to read the Word of God and get it right. Now I put words where there ain't words, leave words out where it is, but it's still the Word of God. Amen. Don't take, if you got it in your lap, you know what I'm missing and what I'm adding. Say amen. I'll guarantee you this, I'm not doing it on purpose. I might need Brother John's glasses. I sharpened a chainsaw the other day, and that's the best I've seen in a long time. Didn't have my glasses, so I put his on. Amen. I'm seeing pretty good. Amen. Them teeth look like his that big, Brother Houston, on that thing. Amen. Might get me some of them. Amen. Watch this in Jude. Just a couple more things and I'm done. Please stay with me. I just want to get done with this little first part. And then we'll come back next Wednesday night. Beloved, Jude chapter number, you know the chapter, verse number 3. Beloved, he said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I hope y'all will forgive me, but that's what I plan on doing until I die. I just want to contend, Brother Larry, for the faith. He said, preacher, what's that got to do with the Word of God? That's got everything to do with the Word of God. This is where faith comes from. This is what we're contending for. Amen. The Word of God doesn't really need to be defended, but it does need to be declared. Now, if you want to know, you know, why my position on the King James Bible, I don't mind to defend that position, but the Word of God will stand on its own 2 feet. It always has, and it always will. One more thing, and I'm done. Look at Revelation. This amazed me. I just started looking at the early verses in these books, holding forth the word of life, holding forth the word of life. And if you have a Scofield Bible like I do, if you read up at the top, it says, the revelation of St. John the Divine. Well, let's read what the Word of God said. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think I'll take chapter 1 and verse 1. Say amen right there. John is writing it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's not about revealing John. It's about revealing Jesus. Now watch what he said. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Here we go. To show unto his servants. What's he doing? Holding forth the word of life. He wants to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Look at verse 2. This just blew my mind. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things which he saw. How many would like to have a blessing tonight? Amen. I'm not talking about from the Pope. Amen. How many would like to have a blessing tonight? Watch what the Bible said here. In verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Boy, I didn't plan on doing this. Let's go over to the end of the book. It starts out with an emphasis on the Word of God. Listen to the end of the book and the emphasis. In verse number 17, and the Spirit says, come. Wait a minute. I'm trying to trick you right there. Is that what it says? The Spirit and the... How many's part of that bride tonight? We're supposed to, Brother Rick, be saying to the world around us, come. We found some water. Somebody said, soul winning's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Amen. We were just paupers, poor sinners. The Bible said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Look at verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I'm going to say this tonight. I believe it's an impossibility to put too much emphasis on what is written in this book. Be impossible to put too much emphasis on the things that are written in this book. John said, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. If you have a red letter edition, you see that's the words of the Savior right there. In other words, John's saying, I'm not the one testifying these things. I'm just writing them down. It's the Savior that's testifying these things. He said, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then John says, let me tell you what I think about that. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And all of God's people said, amen. That's the last word in the Bible. Last word my mama said before she went to heaven was amen. That's the last word in the Bible. I'll tell you what we can do. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Go right on through the whole book. And you can say amen. 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 There are times, Brother Rose, when I read it, and it knocks me to my knees. And I have to say, oh me, before I say amen. But I can still say amen, Brother Ralph. Because if it didn't have that kind of power, Brother Brian, I heard you talking about getting started out there in an emergency situation when you're 16 years old. If it didn't have that kind of power, you wouldn't still be teaching today, brother. If it didn't have that kind of power, I wouldn't still be preaching today. I'd have done been out of the ministry. But the Word of God, when we get out of line, can line us up. Amen. That boy of mine, he bought a new Dodge. And within 6,000 or 7,000 miles, that thing had wore the front tires terrible on the edges. He took it back to the dealership and they said, ain't nothing wrong with that truck. My boy just looked at him and said, oh, yes, there is too. He said, jack it up. The front wheel bearings was already out of it. And it was wearing them tires. And you know, my boy said that. He said, Dad, they've agreed to put me two new tires on it. I said, well, they need to, son. He said, as soon as they get done doing that, putting them bearings in, putting them tires, he said, I'm going to take it and have it lined up. You said, why was he going to do that, preacher? Why was he going to take it and have it lined up? Because he didn't want them to wear crooked again. Say amen right there. You say, what kind of illustration? I think it's pretty good. God lets us get in this Word and line us up so we can walk, amen, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. We can go down the road straight for the glory of God. I didn't mean to say all that tonight, but I don't think I said anything that needs to be took back, amen. We need the Word of God. We need to hold forth. Ask God. Sister Hannah, when they go to college, not to be ashamed of the Word of God, but to hold it forth. I tell you what, you wouldn't have to open it at lunch many days till people would know where you stand. Just read a chapter or two out of it, amen? You say, preacher, that's not possible. I believe it is. I went to school with some. There wasn't many of them, but there was a few. 2,000 people in that high school, and there's about 6, sometimes 5, sometimes 6, sometimes 7, gather around that flagpole and pray every morning before school started. I knew they had something I needed. You couldn't have paid me enough money to stood in that circle with them at that time. Say amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But oh, if I could do it over, Brother Al. Woo, glory to God, if I could do it over. The scars that wouldn't be there. I ought to just listen when I was younger. Amen.